We are reading in the book Kabbalah Matchil, Kabbalah for Beginners. The article is Exile and Redemption. This article is also found in the book Pri Chacham, page 95. Again, the article is Exile and Redemption. We are reminding you that you can ask questions live on the internet at www.keb.tv. Selected questions relevant to the subject matter will be aired. Exile and Redemption. Wait a minute, where are you starting from? First of all, what does he call exile and redemption? He says, the subtitle is The Harmony Between Religion and the Law of Development or Blind Faiths. There can be harmony, perfection, completeness, unity, understanding, bonding. Such that one without the other doesn't give that wholeness, but only the two. Harmony between religion, I don't know what religion is, we learned what the essence of religion is. He talks about religion as a method of correction, about the wisdom of Kabbalah. What does he mean here? We'll see. So harmony between religion and the law of development. So religion and the law of development seemingly have to be together, complement each other, be realized one within the other. Or blind fate. This is something that's very surprising. So the law of development and blind fate are the same. And how can we receive the law of development or the law of blind fate and accept it or be complemented with it through something called religion? In other words, there's a natural system in which the creatures exist. And according to the law that exists in that system, they develop. According to this law or to this blind fate, there are no changes in that regularity of the systems or its development. So what can be done? What can the creatures who are in that system which develops them do? Which develops them according to the simple law of nature. Put to death, give birth, to die, to live, whatever. Allah, how can the creature participate in that individually and bring itself into harmony? The right measure of correction with respect to the creature, to the system it is in, and to the law of evolution it experiences, and which it cannot change. It can change the system or the law of development, but change the state he is in, how he accepts these states. This is called, which is by that he changes in his life, yes, his internal sensation. Acceptance of the system of its and its law of development correctly by the creature is called religion. And our attitude through religion, by acquiring the nature and the creator who turns things around to bring us to the purpose, if we develop this religion, the right approach toward it, then we will achieve harmony. And nature's system, this system and the law of development, everything that is in there, act upon us and create in us all kinds of deficiencies, pains, unpleasant sensations, so as to awaken us to achieve this harmony. If we didn't have to complement our attitude to what exists, we would not feel anything. The negative sensation and positive that we feel is to awaken us to come to a harmonious attitude to what is happening, to reality. And our attitude to where we are determines if we are in exile or in redemption. Because there is no difference in reality before you change your attitude and after you change your attitude. The difference is in your sensation, in your impression. So the sensation that you haven't achieved harmony is called exile, and when you achieve harmony, it's called redemption. And there's nothing more here but your own attitude. Nothing happens outside of this attitude. There's no such thing. Everything is like the light of Insof, the system of Insof in complete rest. All the world's degrees, corrections, are all about your attitude to something. When you correct your attitude, when you change your attitude, and that's it. So the degrees of changing your attitude is called, are the degrees of the world. And the system through which you relate to reality is called religion. Okay? Well, somehow, let's see what it's like inside. If not, well, perhaps we'll read it in a lighter way. And among these nations shalt thou have no repose. And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all. And that you say, we will be as the nations, as the families of the countries. The Lord will evidently show that Israel cannot exist in exile, and they will find no rest as the rest of the nations that mingled among the nations and found rest and assimilated in them until there was no trace left of them. In other words, we have a problem. There's a special nation that cannot be like all the others, which always has its own unique history and development, and everyone agrees with it, and everyone blames it, and everyone says they are the reason for everything bad that happens in the world, and they too feel this way. And this phenomenon is a permanent and consistent phenomenon. It's something the world doesn't know how to work with, how to cope with. Sometimes it's a big problem, because and the whole world deals with it. Sometimes it's a lesser problem. But we see that it is a natural phenomenon. It is a natural phenomenon. That even though all the nations who cultivated the land, who lost the land and independence, they disappeared or somehow mingled with others, and they live in such ways that everyone agrees that it's okay. With us, it isn't happening. So there's a special phenomenon here by nature that we have to research. Because indeed, the world is worried about it, and we too are worried about it. What is happening here? How do we do something? Or as the leaders 200 years ago thought, that we should mingle and be assimilated in the nations, or as the Zionists think, that we should build ourselves like a nation that is similar to all of the nations, which is again blurring the issue as being like all the others, although it's seemingly independent. But one of the nations. We see that we cannot move either way. We can't build a country and be like an ordinary people. We can't, and it's not going to work out. Although we are smart and more capable than any other nation, we cannot build ourselves and be like an ordinary nation and thus achieve some kind of participate in the general layer, so to speak. We are also unable to be assimilated completely in all the other nations. So, in either way, there's a phenomenon here that makes us conspicuous and we cannot escape it. So what do we do? So is the house of Israel. Sorry, not so is the house of Israel. Still, it will find no rest among the nations until the verse will be, and from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him for you and will demand Him with all your heart. In other words, nature's law is arranged in such a way that we are in the most remote forms from our perfection, from being a country and a people as all the others, or we will be canceled with respect to all the nations and want to erase ourselves as we are, our measure of independence. So we are capable of neither. In the end, we end up in a situation that we ask to be somehow special from all the others. We are different, yes. We are special, yes. And we want to be like that. In other words, from within the desire to be canceled and assimilated or build ourselves like everybody else, which again stems from the same desire to seemingly disappear, not to be conspicuous. So, from all these attempts, we come to a point where we eventually cry, yes, we do want to be special. It's not that we just agree to what happens, but we want it. From there, you will ask from all of your attempts to be like all the others. This can be examined by studying Providence and the verse which states about us that the Torah is true and all its words are true. True meaning it's a natural law. God in Gematria is nature and the Torah is all the laws that we have in nature. And there's nothing you can do here. They work like all other laws. And woe to us as long as we doubt its truthfulness and say about all the rebuke in us that they are chance and blind faith, because if we go against nature, we understand that nothing good will come out of it. This has but one cure, to bring the troubles back on our heads to such an extent that we will see that they are not coincidental, but loyal providence destined for us by the Holy Torah. In other words, if we don't follow nature's laws, which is God, then we are punished, and that punishment, these blows, will still force us to approach the real existence, to equalize ourselves with the general system. And we should clarify this matter by the law of development itself, that the nature of the faithful guidance that we have attained through the Holy Torah, a development far more rapid than the other nations, has come to us. And because the members of the nation developed so, there was always the necessity to go forward and be extremely meticulous with all the mitzvot, commandments of the Torah. In other words, we once used the wisdom of Kabbalah and thus knew all of nature systems, upper and lower, and lived in the entire space of spiritual and corporal reality, and thus attained the understanding and awareness of everything. And it gave us a huge leap in our development compared to all other nations of the world. Today we don't understand, don't feel how different we were then in the days of the temple from all the other nations, all the other peoples, when we were in spiritual attainment and they were in barbarism and barbarians. Israel didn't bring out their uniqueness. They weren't Because you can't show it to someone who isn't at a spiritual degree that you have something spiritual. What are you going to say and what are you going to explain? There are no words to it. And there's no need to do it. But maybe the Greek philosophers, they received a little bit of from the prophets, but in the end we were very special. Everyone knew how to read and write. Everyone were in the temple of godliness. Everyone knew their life's purpose, what we exist for. Everyone knew everything that was happening in the world. Everyone meaning the whole people. And there was no misunderstanding of attaining the worlds, meaning the whole of reality. And the development that we achieved gave us a special place. And we had to use it to eventually bring it to all the nations. And to bring it to all the nations, we had to be broken and fall to the degree of all the nations, be integrated in them, bring them all kinds of superficial forms, knowledge about the corrections, and now we have completed this task of mingling with all the nations and bringing them the sparks, our spark. From now on, we have to begin redemption. But it says that still we have achieved a much quicker development in all the nations of the world, because the spiritual awareness brings a person to develop very quickly. It's not about the technological development and everything we have in this world today. We see how these things are artificial, that seemingly want to complement the incompleteness of nature's system. Cellular phones, computers and everything, it's all because people can't connect to each other, because they can't connect to nature, because they lack and don't understand how to complement themselves. Technology and science in general, education and culture, everything that exists is because of the lack of sensation of the complete natural system. Those who feel it don't need anything superficial. They don't need to learn from anyone. They don't need to invent all kinds of inventions. Everything's there. Through all kinds of inventions and toys, the computers and phones, we want to complement what is missing. So our will to receive detaches us from nature. In nature we have connections and laws and drawing of lights and information that is endless. Because we're not part of nature, we want to complement it in some superficial manner through all kinds of instruments, because of our lack of our evolution in our internal kelim. Of course, it's not going to satisfy us. That's why it says that in the end, you will develop to a point where you begin to feel that it doesn't satisfy you, and from there you will cry, help. Yes. And because they would not do it, but rather wished to include their narrow selfishness, meaning the Lolishma, not for her name, the raise wealth and power above justice as other nations do, it evolved into the ruin of the first temple. So the corruption grew because the will to receive grew, certainly. Nothing just happens. Our developed desire evolved toward the desire for wealth and power, and this brought us the ruin of the first temple, as we learn that there is a desire for wealth, for domination, for honor and knowledge. And then the first ruin was in wealth and power. There it happened specifically. The will to receive grew, and they didn't complement it through spiritual corrections. And because the Torah prohibits it, meaning we have to transcend these desires, they denied the Torah and the prophecy and adopted the manners of their neighbors so that they would be able to enjoy life as much as selfishness demanded of them. The will to receive it grew, and because they did that, the powers of the nation disintegrated. In other words, instead of everyone unitedly sustaining the general system, spiritual system, and living in it with the sensation of the endless world, eternity, and perfection, everyone started grabbing something for himself. So the nations of the power of the nations disintegrated. Some followed the kings and the selfish officers, and some of them followed the prophets. And that separation continued until the ruin. In the second temple, it was even more conspicuous, because the beginning of the separation was publicly displayed by disciples who went astray. Headed by Tzadok and Baitos, their mutiny against our sages revolved primarily around the strictness of Lishma. As it is written, as our sages said, wise men, be careful with your words. In other words, you don't have to work in order to bestow, but you can work in order to receive. And moreover, if you have all kinds of knowledge about spirituality, use it for yourself. This is called Lo Lishma. There's a Lo Lishma from which you come to Lishma, from below upward, with the desire to achieve complete bestowal. And there's the opposite, as we read here during the decline, from complete to incomplete, who were in spiritual awareness and used it for themselves. As we have many examples and historic texts from the ruin of the second temple, since the ruin of the temple, how they sold the priesthood and how they treated each other when they took kelim, spiritual phenomena, and used it for themselves. By that, they denied the Lishma and said that the Lishma is also okay. But still, that was still before the ruin, when they still understood what Lo Lishma means. That spirituality is great things that you can use for yourself. But after the ruin, they didn't understand that too. They were completely detached from spirituality. So again, as they said, wise men, be careful with your words, because they did not want to retire from selfishness. They created communities of this corrupt kind and became a great cult called Tzedokim, who were the rich and the officers pursuing selfish desires, unlike the path of Torah. And they fought the Purushim, the sages of Israel, and brought the rule of Rome, the Roman kingdom, over Israel. They are the ones who would not make peace with imperious ones, as our sages advised by the Torah, until the house was ruined and the glory of Israel was exiled. This is what happened without any external force, as we perhaps read and hear. But it's because there was war. When the Romans came before that, there were the Greek, and as if alien forces expelled us from here 2,000 years ago. And they caused the ruin. Of course it's not so. As he says, it all depends on the internal disintegration of the nation. And this is the only reason for what happened to us. I understood correctly, according to the previous paragraph, the higher the spiritual level, the technological development will decline. Of course, what do I need technology for? If I understand you without a phone or cell phone or whatever and any other communication line, then what do I need it for? If I feel others instinctively, naturally, internally, what do I need thousands of TV channels for? To constantly look what they're saying. If it's all in me, why do I need it? Just explain to me. If I understand the phenomena that can be in a person and they are inside of me, why do I need comedies and dramas and history and novels and novels and everything? It's all in me. I don't become sick inside. I begin to contain everyone and everything in a way that I'm happy. I'm not limited. On the contrary, the fact that we want to connect to each other in this way and with this great distortion, look at what's happening, especially with the media, to attract attention, because they don't want to create connection between us. We only call them communication lines. What communication? They want to profit on the connection that people make. That's the important thing for them. In other words, it doesn't matter what they provide us, the kind of connection that they create among us. They tell you, oh boy, look what's happening. You go in there, you see. It's only so you go in there. Just look at the lies that they use. So these are not communication lines. The name is incorrect. In other words, we understand that these systems that we are building should seemingly complement that Babylonian separation that occurred when everyone lost his ability to understand and to feel others, when the confusion in the languages occurred, when one didn't understand the other. The rest of the things that happened are only to complement that flaw, and that's it. We see that it's not working, and today it is finally appearing in the clearest way. Leaders don't understand the people, they don't understand themselves, and children, and grown-ups, and well, everything. We don't even want this communication anymore. We see that it came to its lowest point. So, to begin with, in the beginning, we wanted to, as it was in Babylon, what happened? Abraham said, we have to complement ourselves through nature. Let's go deeper into nature. The ego separates us. We have to go deeper into nature, be more giving, more connected to each other, and then we will be one system again, in harmony. The rest of the Babylonians said, no, we will go each according to his ego. We'll be able to connect to each other. We'll be fine. We'll provide each other. For each other, we won't have any deficiencies. We see that today no one can give himself anything. No one can connect to others. No one feels that he has any need to connect to anyone. And if he does have it, he doesn't know how to do it. And we are in the worst possible state. So it turns out that the crisis is the crisis, that Babylonian crisis in ancient Babylon, in the Tower of Babel, and now we understand that it's because we didn't go in the right kind of complementation. Instead of spiritual complementing, we wanted to complement ourselves corporately, technologically, and we failed. Yes, but there's technological development in medicine or cars, not necessarily communication. Why do you think it's good? I do all of that because of the deficiencies. If I didn't have a deficiency, I wouldn't do it. So today, 20 times a year, I have to fly all over the place. What's good about it? You see everything without it. Can't you see without it? You hear, you're in contact with people. Even without running around, I can be in contact with people in even more completely. You see things, you see peoples, nations. I could do it differently, more perfect, and with less effort, with less of this crazy effort. We have to understand that our attempt to complement life, these deficiencies, is because we have deficiencies from the breaking. In the past, these deficiencies were filled with complete harmony, and they didn't feel as something that's flawed. And today, we want to complement it. And a drop of pleasure that you receive, and that leaves you empty afterwards, but you agree to the following emptiness. But in between, to feel some pleasure, look, you see that for this is what you're working for your whole life. Of course, these are not perfect things. Well, let's continue. The difference between a secular ideal and a religious ideal. A secular ideal stems from humanness, and hence cannot raise itself above humanness. Whereas a religious idea, which stems from the Creator, can raise itself above humanity. In other words, religious here means connecting to the Creator, God, discovering Him and the spiritual system, and complementing the existence of each and every one, not through connecting on the human level, where we never can complement ourselves, but only to the higher system. To elevate ourselves above all of humanity. He puts it very simply. If you think that at the level of this world, where everyone is, you can achieve harmony, fine. In a few years, you'll see it's impossible. In a few years, you will discover that it gives you such pains that you will ask at all costs in the most remote places to get rid of this corporal existence and achieve the godly level. And that's it. In other words, nature and its development will still bring us to the recognition of evil, that we have been going in the wrong direction since Babylon onwards, or that we are in exile after the ruin of the temple, and now we're in it and have to finish it and achieve correction. It depends on it depends who you're talking about, Israel or the nations of the world. Because the basis of a secular ideal is equalization and the prize of glory in the eyes of man. And he acts in order to boast in the eyes of people. Yes, you do everything out of love and to fill them, out of pride and to fill them. But everyone has his own pride, so there's competition and no one is satisfied. And although one is sometimes disgraced in the eyes of one's generation, one still relies on other generations, and it is still a precious thing for him, like a gem that fuels its owner, though no one knows of it or cherishes it. We can't get rid of it. Power, wealth, domination, pride, and knowledge, these basic things push us without asking our opinion toward all kinds of actions. And we cannot compliment ourselves in that. A religious idea, however, is based on glory in the eyes of God. Hence, he who follows a religious idea can raise himself above humanity. When you begin to connect to godliness, and you begin to equalize yourself, compare yourself with him, and achieve equivalence of form with him, you have then no connection, seemingly, with humanity, but your standard is the Creator. Up until the Lord your God. Yes? And here a person determines a different way of life, different values, how he measures himself and what he asks of himself. So it's not just a goal, it's a way of life. It is an attitude, it is the attitude to the system of reality, which is entirely different. He sees everything as means to achieve that goal of identifying with the Creator. This is the spiritual ideal that he is talking about. Of course, it has nothing to do with the religion that we know. The religion of landlords. And then it has to do with the ideal of Kabbalah, because religion that we know is just taking upon ourselves some kind of conduct, actions, to ask for reward for them in this world and in the next world. But here, the attitude, the religious attitude to reality that he's talking about, is when a person achieves complete bestowal. And so it stands among the nations of our diaspora. As long as we follow the path of Torah, we remain safe. For it is known to all the nations that we are a highly developed nation and wanted our cooperation to exploit us according to their own selfish desires. Yet we still had great power among the nations. For after all the exploitation, there still remained a handsome portion left for us, greater than for most civilians of the land. The people of Israel, as long as they sustained some spiritual level, as long as Kabbalists were working within the nation had some kind of solid point within it, a special attitude toward reality, to each and every one. When our will to receive came to our days, these things stopped, and today we are in a situation where from that far point, remote point, we have to start crying. But because people rebelled against the Torah in their aspiration to execute their selfish device, again, Torah means the light that reforms. Religion is that method of Kabbalah which compels us to become corrected. Right? We're talking only from within the point of the heart toward a person who feels himself being at the bottom of the system of reality, who understands that he has to find grace in the eyes of the Creator, not in the eyes of people, not be rich or dominating or great or appear smart to others, but only with respect to the Creator, to that standard, the giver. He must be at the level of seeing himself and measure himself only with respect to that, not boast in the eyes of humanity and their values. Again, but because people rebelled against the Torah, these are the people who rebel against the Torah, those who begin to want what humanity wants, what money, honor, knowledge, domination, to be called great, to receive respect, to be respected by everyone, not to achieve the revelation of the Creator and compliment themselves with it, and equalize themselves with it. These are the rebels. A question from Ukraine. Which mitzvot should we start keeping in order to find grace in the eyes of the Creator? We have only one mitzvah to keep, so as to achieve equivalence of form of the Creator, the mitzvah of love. This is what appeared back in ancient Babylon as hatred among everyone, the ego that erupted, And this is the mitzvah that we have to keep. This is the correction that we have to make on ourselves. Instead of the hatred that is appearing, unfounded hatred among people, we have to discover, we have to achieve the one mitzvah of love their friend as thyself. This is the great rule in the Torah. It is the only condition to connect everyone to the one Kli, to equalize with the Creator. There's nothing else. Yes. Again. But because people rebelled against the Torah in their aspiration to execute their selfish device, they lost the purpose of life, meaning the work of God. And because the sublime goal was switched with the selfish goals of the pleasures of life, anyone who attained fortune raised his own goal with glory and beauty. And where the religious scattered his monetary surplus on righteousness and good deeds and other such collective needs, the selfish ones scattered their surplus on the joys of life, on food and drink, clothing and jewels, and were equalized with the distinguished in every nation. By these words, I only mean to show that the Torah, as a natural law of development, even when accompanied by blind faith, goes hand in hand in wonderful unity, in a way that the bad incidents in the diaspora that we have much to tell of from the days of our exile were all for the reason that we embezzled the Torah. If we had kept the commandments of the Torah, no harm would come to us. Yes. If I understand correctly, when we talk about unity today, we are talking about all of us having the right attitude towards nature system, same attitude. Can you explain in a sentence what that attitude is? Love. What is love? And love means I feel others as an integral part of me, that there's no difference between me and others, to the point that I will not see that there's anything that's divided into pieces. There's one general system called Adam HaRishon, which is me. Me. And no other souls here. These are pieces of me. Hand, leg, head, liver, kidneys, whatever. That's how I sense the whole system. And then I, with respect to the Creator, am like the only creature. This is what we have to come to. And the will to receive constantly grows in us. On top of that, we have to build this attitude to each other. And the ego separates us. So we have a secular ideal, secular from the will to receive, of boasting in the eyes of others, meaning realizing the ego as it is, growing in a person. And there's the religious ideal of transcending the ego, and on top of it, building the connection among people, and thus resembling the Creator. That's it. Now, all of us are in a crisis. No one understands what is truly wanted, what nature's powers want of us, why they are pressuring us, why they are forcing us. So, Kabbalists exist and bring us the books, and we, from the books, with our broken desire, which seeks rest from this life, we approach these books, and then he tells us that we should read them and find in them the method of correction. Yes. And so, de facto, we are here in a group, as a group. How can we use each other to achieve this kind of attitude all the time, beyond the books that we have to read? The books are not enough. The books are a means. Where I realize this method itself with the group. In the group, I should achieve such a relationship as I read in the book that Kabbalists discover in the spiritual world. They say, you should create a group according to these laws, according to that constitution. Look, 1, 2, 3, 4. Now I have to take these laws from them and try every day, every moment, to receive them. So all of my friends will accept these laws and gradually identify with them. Instill them on ourselves. So we build such a relationship among us like these laws. In other words, there's a system and everyone must enter that system find his own place in the system. But the system is rigid. It exists. It's immobile. You can't do anything with it. It exists. It's the system of Adam HaRishon. You have some kind of, connection among everyone, right? But everyone is here. Everyone must come and find his place here. That's how it is. Every single one. We are not, but the system itself, the system is here, exists. This is what we have to do. So we take the friends, the people who are ready for it, who have a point in the heart, and begin to work among ourselves to enter that system. It's called elevating ourselves above humanity and achieving spirituality. That's it. There's no other work. When we want to work at the human level, then either everyone works out of his own ego, wants to be impressed, to boast in the eyes of others how successful I am, how I'm known, how I dominate everyone, or say it's not so, then we want to find among us a connection through technology. Phones, computers, all kinds of forms of connection, all kinds of vehicles, whatever. We think that through it we can complement that connection that exists in that upper system. This is what Babylon determined, which broke. So we complement each other as we have it. For that, we don't have to rise and take our place in the higher system. This is called the ordinary system, secular system. And this system is the religious system. So, of course, we see that this is called religious. Yes, the religious is the Kabbalah. And the secular is all kinds of religions and the secularity that we have in this world. Everything but Kabbalah. Because everyone's talking about prophets. Here it is spirituality, bestowal, connecting to others. And here, below, it's only give. Even religion, our human religion, supports that. Work and get a reward, like in a factory. But even worse, even more egoistic and justifying itself for its existence in this way. So they say that it is time that we understood that we have to transcend the human level to the godly level. Yes. Congruity and unity between Torah and blind faith and the development of human calculation. Hence, I hereby propose to the House of Israel to say to our troubles, enough, and at the very least calculate a human calculation regarding these adventures that have come upon us time and time again. Meaning what? We are here in the human system which contains Israel and the nations of the world. Two groups, which were actually one group in Babylon, but Israel went according to the method of correction, Abraham's method of correction, and hence entered spirituality, and then lost spirituality, and the nations of the world were not in spirituality ever. And that's why they evolved only according to the ego. And Israel took spirituality and then fell with the spirituality toward egoism. In other words, they too had something of the spiritual world, sparks, and something of the corporate world, where they are in exile, in decline. So now we have to connect these two parts. And this is what we have at the period of exile. From within that exile, after Israel mix with the nations of the world, as owners of the method, they should first elevate themselves to the spiritual level, and then, when they are in that spiritual level, connect to the nations of the world and bring them, or invite them, so to speak, to ascend, to rise. And it goes together, the process, because you have the entrance of the world to receive from the nations of the world to Israel, the entrance of sparks from Israel to the nations of the world. So Baal HaSulam says, not necessarily that you have to correct Israel first. He says that in the Horn of Messiah. But Israel have to give the method of Kabbalah to all the world, what they need for correction, to show the whole world the state they're in, and what is the reason for it, what should result from that. And then the world will push Israel, compel Israel to rise. Without it, Israel cannot ascend. That's what he explains in the Horn of Messiah. Also, at the end of the introduction to the Book of Zohar, he explains it as it is written there, that the people of Israel will take Israel on their shoulders and bring them to Jerusalem. In other words, we cannot make correction only through Israel. There has to be a drive and participation of the nations of the world. That's why Israel went into exile, to give to the nations of the world the sparks of spirituality, so that the nations of the world will want spirituality, and then they will push Israel to perform the correction. This is how it works reciprocally. Yes. And here in our country as well, where we want to start our country anew, we have no hope of clutching at the ground as a nation as long as we do not accept our holy Torah without any extenuations, to the last conditions of the work lishma, and not for oneself with any residue of selfishness, as I have proven in the article, The Revelation of Godliness, Matan Torah. Now he explains to us why after 2,000 years we have received the land of Israel and came back. It's a natural law that acted on us in such a way that we are forced to be here now, and why we have to be here now, so as to here and now realize the method of correction and bring the people of Israel once more from the human degree that it fell to during the exile 2,000 years ago, the time of the ruin, to the spiritual level that it had prior to the ruin. And now we achieve a complete correction and thus bring correction to the rest of the world. When that Babylonian part, which didn't follow the method of Kabbalah, join us. And this is why we have to achieve the same corrections that are spoken of in Kabbalah, life effortless as self, self-annulment, equalizing with the Creator, first of all, within the framework of the state, and then the framework of the entire world. Yes. In the writings of the last generation, Baal Salam writes that in a corrected society there will still be medals of honor, etc. So what does that mean? Medals of honor and all those fulfillments, so to speak, and pleasures that the person feels when he activates himself in actions of bestowal, have to be with respect to all kinds of parts that still haven't been corrected, or that are corrected, but are corrected in such a way that they cannot sense out of it, because of the turbidity in them, they cannot feel themselves belonging to the light. They can only feel themselves belonging to the system itself. Well, I don't know which example to give to it. Say, in our body, we have cells that don't feel their connection to the brain, only their connection to the system they're in. And not the whole system, but the superficial part of that system, etc. In other words, even at Gmar Tikkun, we will need to care for complementing each and every one at the level from this world up to the spiritual world, to the world itself. Nothing is cancelled. Everything is put together. And so we will have to worry about filling all the kelim that will be. We'll get into that more, but it's hard to talk about Gmar Tikkun because we don't understand how, what changes happen in a person who is at a spiritual level. Now we'll have to stop. We'll continue tomorrow. Before conclusion, a few messages. Ask a Kabbalist answers to everything you always wanted to know. A new live show every Thursday, 8:30 p.m., beginning from June 21st. The program will be aired on the community channel from channel 98 and on the internet. Questions will be taken as of 6 p.m. at www.keb.tv or by phone, 1-700-509-219. A new phase in disseminating the paper, Kabbalah Lam, begins today. Now you can receive the paper in one of the following ways. You can subscribe at a lower price to the printed edition, which will come directly to your home. Anyone who buys a subscription gets a free book, a gift. And also you can register free to the internet version of the paper through the site www.keb.co.il. Avlak Malzachus at Bet Kabbalah are held Tuesdays at 7 p.m. and Fridays at 9 a.m. at 112 Jabotinsky Street, Petah Tikva. The bookstore at Bet Kabbalah is open to serve you Sunday through Thursday, 10:30 a.m. through 9 p.m. and Fridays, 9 a.m. through 12 p.m. This concludes our lesson. We thank you. Have a good day and good night.